Hello, and welcome to Long Time No See, the podcast. Each week, we'll be pairing two blindfolded comedians who've agreed to sit down with a mystery guest. I'll be putting them on the spot with a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Without further ado, please remove your blindfolds and introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Michael.
Hi, Andrea.
I have to be honest with you, I am so relieved to see a Jew.
Do you have any irrational fears? What's the worst fad you were into? Is there any job that you would be terrible at?
Underwater welder?
Don't say that about yourself.
Do you guys have any useless talents?
I kicked one of those delivery robots.
What? You kicked one?
Yelling. I kick those all the time.
They have names on them.
Good.
I can make smoke come out of my mouth with nothing.
Do it.
You want to see it?
What the f***? Are you a dragon?
Out now, Long Time No See, the podcast, season 2. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahn, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like, my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by Sound Mind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out, it's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcast and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead, download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
Okay, so it's a party.
Yes.
But about TV.
Yes. Join us every Monday for TV Party, where we'll talk about the news of the moment, the best episodes of the week, and what we can't wait to find sitting on our DVRs.
We'll also chat with actors, writers, and experts about TV, elect classic characters to our Hall of Faces, deep dive into full seasons of some great shows, and more.
Find us at Consequence of Sound, iTunes, or wherever you procure fine podcasts.
Oh, Clint, one more thing. Is it open bar?
It's BYO.
Got it.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's an audio interview series presented by WFPK Independent Louisville at WFPK.org. Consequence of Sound and the Consequence Podcast Network. Take a minute before we get started to hit the subscribe button wherever you're listening today, whether that's on YouTube, wherever you get your podcast from, or now on Spotify. You can also follow along on there as well. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, Taylor Hansen of the band Hansen. They are back with a brand new record called String Theory. It also ties into a major tour they're doing of the same name. They've taken a lot of their older songs, they've written a lot of new songs, and they've paired them up with a 50-plus piece orchestra. So we'll talk about where that idea came from, how it was rewriting some of those old hits, how it affected the writing of the new songs, as well as some specifics on cuts like Mbop, Tragic Symphony, and the new one Siren Call. It's a big step 26 years into a career, and it's a really fun record to listen to. Kyle Meredith with Hansen. Let's see, String Theory. There's a cool concept behind this record, too, behind the tour, behind the record. It pairs you all with an orchestra, new songs, old songs. Where did this idea come from?
Well, I mean, it began, it's been a couple years now that we began really, you know, going, hey, let's build this project. And there were a couple different factors. One was we celebrated playing together for 25 years last year. And we, you know, we had a great tour, and it was a really awesome year. You know, we don't spend a lot of time kind of doing the reflecting and saying, look where we've been, but we really did that. And as we were looking forward, we knew we wanted to continue the thing that's kept us together, which is, you know, interest in challenging ourselves and doing music interesting to us. And also we feel like, you know, at this point in our career, we have so much we can bring to the table that you can't just do on your second record or your first record or third or fourth even. And so it had been, you know, a bucket list idea for years to collaborate with a symphony, to find some way to do that. And the idea was born to say, well, what would it look like if we built a project around that collaboration? And that was the core, the kernel of the idea. And you know, it took flight from there.
Now, obviously, it is a moment, you know, when you are looking back at that older catalog to give some of those early songs a new maturity. Would you say that there was one that wins the best makeover award in this pack?
Well, yeah, there are some. I mean, it really is a mix of old and new. I'll say, to come to the answer, that one of the cool things about the show is we've really placed songs that are brand new next to songs that are well known. And the sort of the core approach to this was to really highlight the songs. You know, the song, a great song in our mind, can be reinvented, and it can be rethought, and it still stands up. And so a couple of the most, you know, known songs in our catalog, Song Mbop is in the show, the song Where's the Love. There's a song from that first record as well called Gearbook that's really, it was really meant for this show. But I think, I don't know, you know, one of the songs that stands out that's in the catalog that really comes to life in a new way is probably Mbop, because we play it in the show early on because we're sort of telling a story with the show, and we stripped it back to the way it was written, you know, with an acoustic guitar and vocals, and then that's wrapped with this 50-piece orchestra. And so as far as the change that's taken place, I think that one, I think for audiences, it probably feels the most different from what we've typically done with the song. But that's certainly the highlight of the show is really just the total experience that comes with the arc. Because, you know, this show is two albums, it's a double record, and then it's a two-part concert. And it's really almost like listening to one continuous song that takes you all the way through and then leaves you with kind of a crescendo.
It's been really fun to listen to. I mean, on both sides. And I'll stick a little bit with those older songs for a second, too, because, I don't know, it would seem like the weight of writing from scratch is gone, because obviously the song is there in some version. But how much of the heavy lifting is still there as far as the songwriting when you're trying to give it that new whateverness?
the new whateverness is, the task is still to make something really great. And even if you've just written a song for a project, or if it has some history, your job is still to take a piece of music and to judge it, to be your worst critic, and to say, well, that works, that doesn't work. And it definitely, you know, probably the most daunting thing about this project was actually sort of deciding what not to include, because there's so many songs, and there's many songs that would sound amazing with a symphony that are in the catalog that didn't make the show. And so I think that the heavy lifting was really coming, whittling down sort of a kind of total mission for the project, and then committing to that and holding all of the songs to sort of this theme and to weave them together. So that's probably the biggest, the most heavy lifting was in that kind of total effort.
Now, on the new songs, how did it affect your writing knowing that it was going to be paired with a symphony? I mean, do you have to sort of have that in mind as you're writing, like, oh, well, the bridge is going to have to do this now or something because it's going to have to work like this?
Well, yeah, it's factored in from the very beginning and there till the very end when you feel it. I think the way it affected it mostly as from a songwriting point of view is we thought about, had to think about keys and range of instrument, and also leaving space, because, you know, when you're a three-piece band, and then we also have a bass player and a guitar key player that's our live band, you know, you try and make it as full comfortable as you can with five guys. And we don't typically have any, you know, embellishments live as far as, you know, people oftentimes have production or loops or, you know, some things with them. But, you know, we've never really done that. And so it was an exercise in sort of editing out the space filling elements and to say, well, actually, we should pull out one part here and we should leave a break instead of a guitar solo. We should let the symphony step forward. And keeping in mind that, you know, the bandwidth, there's a lot more to pump through that pipeline musically. And so we had to a lot of times say, you know, there's less here is actually more, because the more is this huge powerhouse that's with us, which is, you know, this whole symphony.
But at the same time, you've still got to tell your story within the song. Like, that's still got to come across.
Yeah, right. And we're not just like sitting there crossing our arms and being like, hey, look at these guys. You know, we're doing it. You know, we're doing it together. So you essentially just had to step back and almost unthink the idea of just being a band on the road or being a band on a record and say, well, this is our band. Our band is now 60 pieces. So that's, you know, somewhat daunting because we've only done it in theory, no pun intended, and we've imagined it and envisioned it and worked, but until it's happened, you only can, you know, predict what's going to ultimately occur once you put those parts together.
Now, you know, you've done many styles with Hanson over the years, but there's always been that R&B slant to it. Was it a challenge to you to find out how to blend your love of R&B with the orchestra template? Like, is that naturally there, or do you have to work with it?
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, R&B is, I mean, soul music and early rock and roll is what we cut our teeth on. I mean, and that's in our singing, and that's in our, you know, for sure, it's ingrained. But we also have a real... We also have a real love for craftsmanship, for, you know, singer-songwriter, sparse writing. I mean, artists like Billy Joel are like our idols as writers. And so we did have to check some of those qualities at the door on this project because there's a lot less of that in this show, probably less than most of our projects because that is not as much the thematic tone of the project. So, yeah, we had to keep it in mind and push forward, sort of like you have a bunch of, you know, things on a fader on a console, like different qualities of your, and you, you know, pull one back a little and push another one forward.
Looking at those songs, I mean, Tragic Symphony is in there. Was that just a shoe-in for the title?
Right. Yeah, it's like, well, there's a symphony in it. Put it in. There's several things. That one definitely at the front of the list early on, we thought, oh, symphony. But it actually stayed in the show less because of the sort of lyric, but more of what it actually was saying. It's the only song in the show that had, it sounds like you've listened to the record, so you know, it has a little more of a sort of a romantic sort of quality to it, or this like sort of relationally driven, it sounds like it does. And so that was one thing that made it an oddball because most of the show, it really isn't that. It's not, it's very much an outward sort of story. But in the music, really, it has an intensity to it, and it needed pace, and it needed sort of a slightly darker energy, and we needed to try and demonstrate a little bit of conflict, a little bit of just intensity that hadn't been there, you know, when you're going through the song. And so it also helped tell a story because the lyrics is what we ended up focusing on to try and plug these songs together. And what we're really saying in that moment is the conflict, which would maybe seem romantic in another context, is really the character that's saying, hey, you know, I've been bit by this bug, this journey I'm on, and I can't get out of it. I'm not going to, you know, I'm sort of already, I am in this tragic, you know, this tragedy, which is I can't turn my back on this, you know, the bite of the bug of music and this crazy, you know, pursuit. And that's the condition, you know, that the tragedy is the fact that I'm both loving this and I'm also taking the beatings that come with it.
Well, that does explain a lot for the darkness, like, you know, why you would have a song, why you wouldn't have a song like Fired Up or something in there, which, you know, is, but like on the new songs too, with Siren Call, I mean, there is that darkness, there is that, you know, raininess and the mood is so thick within the entire piece. Like, it's been really enjoyable because of that.
Yeah, well, it's great to hear somebody actually listen. That's refreshing. Again, it's a different moment throughout the show, you know, and what you're doing is you're taking people on this. There's waves. The water rises by the end, but you're still, you know, you're rising and you're falling, you're rising and you're falling. And, you know, the funny thing about our story, you know, which, you know, it's still going, but you know, we've never done our dirty laundry out in front. You know, you don't see, we try and keep, you know, the challenges or the conflicts, sort of the internal ones, you know, not on the front page. But that, to do that, that doesn't mean there's not challenges. That just means that you've chosen to handle those things in a different way than maybe some. And so to get from here to there, anybody knows, any person that lived, you know, a minute knows that to get from here to there, you know, to get the ship across the harbor and you know, through the storms, requires, you know, labor and temptation and you know, challenge. And so if you survive it, then you get to you know, reflect on it. And that's what any of this, you know, that's the power of music, is you can tell people something with a chord, and then you can add a lyric, and then you can tell somebody how to feel just by hearing that that sort of daunting, you know, here comes the sort of impending doom, you know, and then you pull them through.
Well, you do it well. You seriously do. Congratulations on String Theory, man. I don't know if you're all plotting your course from here or where it goes, but you know, we're in.
Hey, well, that's great to hear. We've been just really blown away by the feedback from the audience, and truly, as the music, you know, nerds, you know, in our band, just the love of what we actually get to do each night. It's really thrilling to get to stand up stage with these other accomplished musicians, and so that's a whole side win for us, is that we get to actually, you know, do something truly, truly new and exciting on this project. And to sort of answer your question, yes, we're definitely thinking about what's next, and that's why we're still here. You know, always got to think about what's in the future.
Well, Taylor, it was a pleasure talking to you today. Thank you so much for doing this and taking the time. And again, congratulations on String Theory. It really is something special.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate it. We'll see you soon.
All right, man. Take care.
Thanks.
Hey, my thanks to Taylor Hansen for that call right there. The new Hansen record is called String Theory. They are touring it right now. And if you haven't already, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Whether you're listening on YouTube, if you're checking us out on Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from, subscribe, give a rating, leave a review, and then head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show every Monday through Thursday from noon to 3 Eastern, where you can also find some bonus episodes of this series. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.